Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, angels, and welcome to the show tonight. We're glad you're here. And Di and I are back on the air. We took a 2-week break for the holiday, or 1-week break. I don't even remember. But Di, I know you've been extremely busy. So we're both here tonight, and welcome back, Di. And I haven't spent too much time with you.
Oh, no, yeah, you got to see your dad.
I know. He's just like, it was just so beautiful, and I had a good time with him. And how did you celebrate New Year? Did you sleep, or did you go out, or did you?
We did not go out. We went out early, I should say, and then we came home, and we were probably in bed by 10 o'clock, so it wasn't really a big New Year's celebration.
Yeah, there you go. Party starts at dies. Party of dies,
yeah.
Anyway. It's all good.
What did you do?
Well, you know what? I was with some friends for New Year's, and it was good. It was really laid back and easy going because I live on the beach, and it was horrendous down here. So, you know, I went out and we came back. You know, I was like ready. I'm more of an early person, morning person, and I do not stay up late. And but you see, we saw everything on the beach. I mean, people in like those big boas, you know, that wrap around your neck, and I was, you know, dressed to the nines, and I had on a skirt and a T-shirt. That's about it, and a pair of flip-flops. I was like, yeah, okay,
that's
I'm going back home now.
I know.
And I'm crashing, so it's all good. But, hey, I got some good stuff for New Year's, and bottom line, my New Year's resolution is, hey, just never leave anything on the table. Live your life to the fullest, and that's what I'm going to do. Even better this year than I did last year, you know what I mean? So
you did good last year.
Yeah,
you know, you had a big year. Well, do you make resolutions? See, I never make New Year's resolutions.
I just don't. You know what happened is I really don't. But what I thought about doing was, I got some really great health results in the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so the resolution for me was last year. I said, you know what? I'm just going to live every moment if I can to the fullest, or every day. And did I do that? For the most part, I did. And sometimes that was just watching a movie, right, or just chilling at home. Sometimes, you know, like I went skydiving last year, and that was something that I wanted to do. And then I started to learn how to surf, right? And my dad and I actually made plans to go surfing in Hawaii, where my sister lives, in June, which I'm super excited about.
Oh, fun. That'll be fun. Yeah.
I know.
In Hawaii.
She lives in Honolulu, but there's a place to go surfing where there's waves and everything, because you don't live in South Florida, and there's no waves down here, so we have to drive a little further north, and I'm going to do that next weekend, hopefully. So we'll see. And but, you know, I ran marathons, and I started running, and I did surfing. And so for me, I told my dad, I go, when I can challenge my body and get an endorphin rush, that is such a charge, you know. And,
right.
Yeah, so that's what I'm doing. And, you know, another thing is I made a commitment to be transparent in every relationship that I have. That is effing hard to do, because we always like to hide things, or, oh, I'll hurt this person's feelings if I say something. So that's my New Year's resolution, if you call it that, or just I'm going to be transparent in every relationship, because I talk to people all the time, and, you know, and I know you do as well. And my father goes, Terry, you may be a little jaded because you talk to so many people. I go, I'm not jaded. I just have like a lot of red flags. And one of them is just being transparent. And what's that mean to you? Because I know you haven't, Di, anybody who's listening now or who would download it later, Di has the easiest, she's one of the easiest people just to say it, just be so direct.
It's horrible. I'm too direct, right? But that, I know. And it's like people who are not like that, are offended. You know, I know I offend people sometimes, people who are secretive or, you know, not transparent, offend me, you know, so it's almost like there's two different types of people, you know. There's the ones that just have such a hard time being honest, you know, and then there's the ones who just can't be anything but honest. And I remember my uncle, they used to always tell me stories about how brutally honest he was, you know, growing up. And, they hate, you know, his family just thought it was horrible. And yet, you know, when I would hear the things he would say, I think, well, that's not so bad. He's just being honest.
I appreciate that. You're so funny. Oh,
you know,
you guys.
Yeah. You know, which I know, you know, sometimes I guess it's just I'm hurting people's feelings, you know. But as far as, like, you're talking about tonight with being transparent in relationships, that's, you know, there's a difference between being mean to somebody, you know, and just saying whatever's on your mind and, you know, not caring about their feelings and keeping secrets. So, but, and that has a whole range of meanings, obviously. And, I mean, I was laughing when you and I were talking this morning and you were talking about some of stories that you've heard with your clients, and there's incredible, incredible stories of people who are just, you know, they're guarding their secrets, and for whatever reason, they feel like they can't be open with their partner, maybe because they have two partners.
Yeah, double lie, so, right?
That's the thing. It's like, what, you know, how do you get to be transparent? Because for some of it, there's like no other way to be, you know, I just, and the older I get, the more I, you know, should be more transparent, but I'm not. It's just things, you know, whatever's on my head, in my head, comes out on my tongue. But, you know, it's just hard for people, I think, because they don't want to hurt someone's feelings a lot of times. So they don't want to say something that they know is going to be upsetting to their partner. And so they, you know, they omit. They may not be lying, but they're omitting. And to them, that's not lying. But to me, that would be lying, you know.
It's lying.
So, right. It is lying, I think. But you've got so many funny stories, but there's some really tragic, sad ones too. And you know, I was reading the article you wrote, and I think that, you know, some of those stories, could you share on the air, or is that something?
I had no problem doing that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll start out with a funny one because you and I laughed about this one. And
yeah.
Di is saying that she doesn't soften it up a bit, but because I'm talking to her, she's sitting there stewing about stuff. I'll get
right.
this out, and she says it, you know, and it may come out a day or two later or a week later, but she gets it out. And you may have waited your made your time better, but you are still to this day the one of the most honest people, and she's been a real inspiration because of her honesty. Your writing is amazing. You know, Facebook, the passive aggressive tool. What is the name of the book? Because it's a funny book, but it's also
the most passive aggressive woman ever. Right, and then totally a perfect example of people not being transparent.
Yeah. Social media should be shot. You know, it's an information tool, not a hurt people's feelings. Be all. Have a double life, and I see that so much. But I'm going to share a story with you guys, and this is so funny. I have a friend of mine, and he and I've been close for a few years now. But he's telling me how he met his wife, right? And he said, now she's his ex-wife, but he said I was at a bar, and I saw her sitting there on the bar stool, and we're talking, you know, chit chat like bar flies do, and he said. He goes, I thought she looked amazing and sexy and, you know, all the things that guys think we look. And I think all women look better, right, in a bar anyway, right? Especially after a few
drinks. Oh, sure, because the light's very dim, yeah. The guys have all had some beer, you know, they have their beer. Everyone has their beer goggles on. Everybody looks better in a bar.
Yeah, guys and girls. So anyway, he's sitting there with her, and he says, she goes, what are you thinking? And he says, do you want me to give you a romantic answer or the truth? And she goes, well, the truth. She's like, great, Gregory. And so she tells him the truth, and he tells her the truth. He goes, I'm thinking about taking you home and blanking the blank, blank, blank out of you. Okay, you guys feeling that? You know, I could probably say it on the air here.
Feeling that.
So the next morning, they both wake up together and having fun. You guys know what that's like, having fun in bed. And you're like, some of you are going, huh, I forgot about that. Yeah, scratching your head like the Tin Man. Yeah, what's that like? It's been a while.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, long story short, they're in bed together. And he's looking at her and he says, I wish I could, you were here with me all the time. Well, anyway, so what happened was, you know, they said goodbye, had breakfast together, and see you later. And he's, you know, thinking, what an amazing night. This is probably around 10 or 11 in the morning. And so 10 o'clock that night, he hears a rumble outside. And here she comes now one night with her car full of clothes and personal items.
Her whole life
in her car. Yeah, her whole life in her car. And she's moving in with him. I kid you not.
Well, he's sad. He's sad. You know, that's what he said.
He
be with her every day. But she was making it happen. Because he'd been so honest. He figured, he must be honest. You must be telling the truth.
Yeah, that was great sex. That's a lot to build on. Anyway, and I said, what were you thinking
after
when
one
he
night.
Was one night stand turned out to be 10 years in one night, but in the process, I said, what were you thinking when she was, you know, moving her stuff in or coming in? He goes, I was so scared. I was so nervous. He said, I hoped I wasn't, this was going to work. And he said, I just thought, hell, I'm going to give it a try. And you know what? I make a joke, 10 years in one night, they stay together and built a life together. And the one thing about it is he said, I learned from that conversation, T, that he calls me, he goes, is to always be honest and open up front and never lie. And he goes, and
right.
I built my whole life. He goes, he's in his 40s now, and he was in his early 30s then, and he built his whole life on that, you know, his business and his personal life. He's in a great relationship, has a great business, and this dude, he's like 40, I can't remember, tell you, he's like a millionaire, you know, on paper with land and all the assets that he has. And but he said, I am always direct and honest in with my communication to folks, you know, whether it's business or intimate relationship. So he said, that's one thing I learned from that relationship. And and he said, so that's what I do, you know, every time. And he gave me a good piece of advice. So he said, and my dad did the same. He goes, I tell the truth, but I'm also very compassionate about it. He goes, there's times, and you guys know what I mean, you can't be mean, although we would like to be. And I've written letters that I've never sent, and I know you have as well.
Yeah.
That's
the best way is to write it down and then throw it away, but you've got it now out of your system, you know.
Yeah.
Just to write
yeah.
it down. Yeah, what you really want to say. And then, you know, delete it or burn it or whatever.
Yeah, like hit the delete button. But he says, he goes, truth yeah. without compassion is cruelty. So always be compassionate when you're telling the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Even
right.
when it's not. So
I
know.
Agree, but I think truth is compassionate. You know, I mean, you can be truthful and still keep that person's feelings in mind while giving them the truth. You know, and that is compassion. You know, to give them the truth, I think is compassion.
Right.
But you don't have to be mean about it. You know.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's a better way of saying it. Being mean. You know, because I've been super mean when I've written things down. Pretty recently, I was, and I said, let me downshift this.
Yeah, soften that up. Right. Because that's the thing. If you write it down first, and then you read it back to yourself the next day when you cool down. Sometimes you realize, oh, that was a little bit harsh. You know, maybe I don't want to say that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
it's more difficult when you're having that face-to-face conversation because, you know, whatever comes out of your mouth, it's on the table then, and you can't take it back. So, you know, if it's been really harsh, that harshness is out there. And so it's definitely tougher, you know, when you're having that, you know, tough conversation face-to-face.
Yeah,
but,
that's
yeah,
true.
If you can... You know, if you're doing it from long distance, you can, or not even if you're not long distance, I mean, you can always sit down and just write your feelings out on a piece of paper and then filter the next day and say, you know, maybe I was upset and I didn't mean that and I don't want to say that, you know. So that's the beauty of communication and writing. But, you know, I'm also one of those advocates of, you know, face-to-face communication. I don't like people who say, I need to wait a couple of days. You know, I need to think about it a couple of days. I mean, sometimes you're having a discussion that's not even that major and somebody will say, oh, I just need some time to think about it. And it's like, no, you have just time to pick and choose your words, you know. And
right.
I don't feel like that's authentic. You know, if it's not spontaneous, it's not really being authentic when you're just picking and choosing every single word. So that's not cool either. But,
you like them to be really direct and upfront and honest right away, right? So right when it's
right.
in there. Okay. Well, I always take a little
I
time.
I am that way. Right. Yeah.
But you're
yeah.
nice guy. You're never rude. You know, and I will tend to be rude in some of my clients, and I'll share some stories with you. But the other day I was going to send an email out, and you are a fair weather friend. You're a pompous, pious ass. And, you know, and F you, and, you know, and that would that have been the right thing to say? Probably not. You know, I would have lost that
Probably
person,
not.
Yeah, forever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you would never do that. I know you. You would just
Right.
choose
I
words.
Try not to ever be rude. Right. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I always try to be, you know, polite and respectful of people's feelings, but I'm still direct. But that's still,
yes.
a lot of people have a hard time with that. You know, a lot of people, I'm too direct because it makes people uncomfortable because it forces them to have to be honest with you. And a lot of people don't want to be, you know, they don't want to be honest with you. They don't want to hurt my feelings or whatever. So they'll You know, they don't want to have that tough conversation. But when you are direct with someone, kind of puts them in that position of they have to be direct too. And for people who don't like transparency, that's, boy, I'm not with somebody who they want to deal with. But
no,
I think most people are more like that, you know, not like me, you know.
I agree with you. I'm going to tell you this, and you are so right on. And you've been a great example for me to follow, because I'm going to tell you something, guys. A couple of years ago, I sent an email to somebody because I didn't want to date him anymore. Okay, Di goes, you don't need to send an email. You need to tell him face-to-face. Well, I did. Okay, and I never forgot that great lesson, and I emailed him, and then I called him and said, listen, let's talk about it. And
he was heartbroken, remember? He was heartbroken because you emailed him.
I know, right? I don't do that anymore. You know, I mean, I just don't.
Yeah,
you know.
It's a Dear John letter. Right. Nobody wants a Dear John letter after they really invested emotion into someone. You know, you put your time and feelings and energy into someone, into that relationship. And to have it harshly just, I've gotten a Dear Jane letter before, you know. With a guy who was just a total pussy, I thought, you know. he did not want to tell me, you know, he was cheating, actually, but, you know, he didn't want to have that conversation with me. So I, you know, after I left the message, you know, of course he didn't answer it, then I get this email, you know, and it's like, really? After we spend this much time together, you're going to email me this? I could not even believe it. It's like, you're an adult and you're doing this?
She's right. And you got, and I remember some of the situations with you in dating too. And I think I know which one you're talking about, but. Okay. And for me, I talk to clients all the time. And, you know, emailing, Facebooking, Twitter, whatever you use, texting is, it sucks. I'm gonna give you guys a situation, right? It is, because it hurts people. I have a friend of mine. She's a client, and the guy, when he doesn't want to talk to her anymore, he blocks her from Facebook. Don't you hate that? I think that thing should be taken off the market, blown up, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so she says, I'm devastated. And I said, I told you that you guys need to have a conversation, because he's going to continue to do this. And so they had made plans. He stood her up, blah, blah, blah. So then today, he calls her, he texts her, he says, I want to see you, I want to have sex with you. And she goes, we're not doing anything until we meet face-to-face and have coffee at 1. And you call me in when you're on the car and saying, I'm on my way. So then he tried to go back to just having sex and just seeing her at his leisure. And they've been seeing each other for a year. But I've seen this person just be so devastated because of the way that he just totally rolls over her feelings. It takes, you know, his not seeing her or getting mad at her is not Facebooking or cutting her off from Facebook. And you and I talked about how Facebook, and in your book, it's all got all that stuff in there.
Right, about just social media.
And she says, Tree, you've told me that I need to be straight with him. I go, listen, does it matter if he says, I don't want to ever see you again? I can't do it like this. Does it matter, or do you want to continually deal with this, because you're going to continually deal with it, because he doesn't like talking or communicating. He uses these passive aggressive tools, you know.
Totally.
So
that's the whole thing. With Paul, you have to start. You have to look at it and say, okay, this person just doesn't want to communicate. Period. You know. And now in this day and age, there's a lot of ways to make it convenient for them. But even down the road, if you make up with that person down the road, you're going to have the same kind of problems. You know, they're going to, even if they're standing right in front of you, they're going to shut down on you. They're not going to communicate. So you need to ask yourself, do I really want to be involved with someone like that? And so it's really hurtful, you know, at the time if you're, you know, in love with them, or if you have a big crush on them or whatever, but you have to look down the road and say, is this the kind of person that I really want to be with? Because if you're a communicator and they're not, that's not going to work. You know, that's just not going to work. You're always going to be frustrated. And they're always going to feel on the defense, because they're always going to feel like you're being too direct and putting them on the spot when you're just trying to have a conversation with them.
Yeah, it's so sad, because I have another client. She called me the other day. She says, and you guys, this is a big problem. I think in when I do like coaching sessions with people, this is, and I, we talked about it. I'm telling those who are listening now or download it later. When my clients, this is their biggest problem, is they lie or they don't tell the truth or they hide the truth or they omit it or they go, I can't tell them now, they're not going to understand. Meanwhile, you're not nurturing yourself and taking care of you and making it, do you understand? Because, you know, the biggest person that's going to hurt is yourself. Give you an example.
Yeah.
I have a friend of mine, and she's like, she's pregnant. And her husband, she found the paperwork for him to have a vasectomy because he doesn't want any more kids. Now, that in itself, he didn't talk to her about it. He just made the appointment, okay? Anyway, so she said, we're there, and the kids are there. And she goes, we're texting back and forth because I'm so mad. And I told him to sleep somewhere else. We didn't want the kids to hear. I was like, do you talk about it with the kids not like that, or do you be direct? I think you need to be direct, okay, not do it texting on any level.
I can't even imagine that. Texting in the same house, and you're sending texts. I mean, that's incredible to me.
I don't care if your kids are there or not. You wait till they go or leave or whatever, you know. So,
anyway,
I was like, but I hear it all, you know. And I know everybody out there has heard it on some level, and you hear it all, and you know, too. But, man, you just got to communicate because – I told her today, I said, I am so proud of you. And I really am, because it took guts for her to do that, because her husband and her never communicated, and now her relationship, they don't communicate, her ex-husband, sorry. And I go, you've got to take care of you. And I'm saying that to myself and to everybody. We are so worried about what that person's going to feel like, that man or that woman. Screw it. Just say it. You know, and that's the hardest thing to do.
I don't always think it's that they're so worried about what that person's going to feel like. It's they're so worried what they're going to feel like, because they're going to feel guilty if they hurt that person's feelings. And it's not so much we want to tell ourselves, oh, we're just trying to spare their feelings. We're sparing our own feelings. You know, we don't want to be the bad guy or whatever it is.
Right,
we're sparing our own feelings, but we're using that other person as an excuse, because it doesn't help anybody to lie to him. It doesn't help anybody to give them a distorted version of the truth. You know, I think living in truth is love. To me, that's love. You know, they always say love is truth. It's absolutely true. You know, I think when you give them the reality, that is giving love. And then that way they can make an informed decision on their own. You know, what do they want to do with it? You know, whether it's a little issue or a big issue. But, you know, like the guy you were talking about earlier, you know, he's dating this girl, and yet he had a fiance or a soon-to-be fiance. And, I mean, what was he thinking that he was doing? I mean, he's just being a two-timing user as far as
he's an ass. Yeah.
We are concerned, he's definitely taking advantage of both situations, you know. But, of course, he's telling himself, oh, I just don't want to hurt your feelings. Well, he should have been pursuing another relationship in the first place if he's got a woman that he's been steadily dating for a couple of years and he's going to get engaged to. But, you know, so people use all kinds of tactics to fool themselves, to make themselves feel better about it. But the fact is they're only protecting their own feelings. They're not really worried about somebody else's. Or they wouldn't be doing what they were doing in the first place generally. Isn't that not right? You know,
I agree with you, and she's right, everybody that's listening now and later or whoever, but because that is something, and it's like we're protecting our own feelings. It's like, I don't want to hurt them because I don't like hurting people. Bullshit. BS, okay? Mm-hmm. You don't like to hurt, and you don't like to say anything because you don't want to hurt yourself. You don't have to deal with it, and that's hard. But this dude, I'm going to share this because you know what? Timing is everything sometimes. And so he had gotten caught dealing with his ex-wife while he was living with this young lady, and they went to counseling and repaired that, right? So this is back, this is now, okay? And this is a really, really fresh story. And this Thanksgiving, and he had, in between the ex-wife and the woman that he's living with, and he's been living with her about 7 or 8 months now, he had a girlfriend in between there, right? And long story short, the girl called him, and he met her for coffee. He said there was no sex. Okay. That's right. And
just coffee. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There you go. I know in Israel, when I used to a guy, he says, when you ask for coffee or something, that really meant sex. So I don't know. Anyway, so it's a thing in Israel. He's a great guy, though. And but anyway, so he met her twice for coffee. And then he told her that, and meanwhile, back at home with this woman, I mean, she's an amazing person. They both are good people. Just the one that had really bad behavior. He told her that he was like doubting the relationship and wanted to, and this is about a month ago, wanted to move on. And so she found a place to live, and then he got freaked out. He said, no, I want to make it work. They're going to counseling. And bottom line is that she called twice, or that he met her twice. The second time he realized that he wanted to be with the woman he's living with, okay, because they had started going to counseling. And so when he told the girlfriend, the ex-girlfriend, he says, I don't want to see you anymore. He goes, I don't want to blow it with her, and I don't want to see you anymore. She got furious and vicious. And this is something that you got to watch out for. And so she calls. She goes, I'm going to let her know that you've been seeing me twice, and we've been talking about. And so yeah. She reached out there and reached out to his woman that he's living with, his fiance now, and told her everything. And he ran home, and as he was walking in the door, she had just gotten the message. Anyway, long mm-hmm. story short, a lot of tears, of course, and a lot of doubt, you know, because they just went through the ex thing. And then and I said, when she went to Canada, I was like, you know what, this is probably okay now. And she goes, we're going to counseling. And she goes, I've decided to stay, and we're going to go to counseling. And mm-hmm. do I support her? You got to, because she loves him and feels like this is the right thing for her to do. Does he have a problem?
Right.
Yeah. Does she have a problem? Well, one always has a problem. It just depends. It's probably different, right? But they're working
right.
it out through counseling. But she made a commitment to stay, and he made a commitment not to do that anymore. And I hope that he can keep it. You know what I mean? But he's been doing that his whole life.
That's the thing. He does have a problem. You know, this is kind of repeated behavior. So she's risking, you know, and she's brave. She's risking getting hurt like that again. And that's brave of her, I think, to say, I'll stay, you know. I mean, serious, honestly, you know, when you know somebody, this is just their standard MO. That's what they do. They like to have multiple partners, you know, to say, oh, I'm going to trust that he's not going to do that again. That's a hard one. So I hope it works out for both of them.
I do too. And you know, you never know, guys. And no, you never know, because you know, she's listening. You know, she's listening to her heart, and I appreciate her very much. I appreciate him.
Right.
And they're in counseling now, and are really trying. And he's got a lifelong stuff of, you know, not being, you know, I don't get self-worth issues, and it doesn't give anybody the right to be the player or whatever, but he's willing to try to change, and she's willing to accept that and work on herself, and I don't know if it's going to work out, but they've both made a commitment, so you got to honor that. Would I do it? Probably not. Would I even get involved with someone like that? Probably not. Would I have gotten involved with somebody like that 5 to 10 years ago? Yeah, I would have. Okay, not known it. And
well,
really
that's the whole thing. Usually we don't know that when we've gotten, you know, we've all gotten involved with, I think most of us have been involved with someone like that. But
right.
we don't know it when you first meet them, because they're always very charming and they make you feel special, and you think, you know, you're really the only one. And then, of course, then you find out later you're one of many, or you're one of a few, or even you're one of a couple. But whatever it is, it's there's, you know, there's more than two of you in that relationship.
That's one way to do a threesome, you know. I'm just kidding about that, by the way. Anyway, it's not my my thing. But anyway, there's, and you know, guys, we're talking about, you know, like leading a double life. I mean, you know, I'm gonna put the article I read, I'm gonna put on Angel Coaches so you guys can see and get an idea. But, Di, there's also when someone says, I'll tell you later, or I can't tell you now, you know, and that's another thing you got to watch out for. Oh, I just can't tell you now. I was going to tell you this, but I'll tell you later. Okay.
Right.
So,
that's a solid secretive. I'll tell you later. Why can't you tell me now? Right. Exactly. I mean, what is that all about? That's somebody who wants drama, too, in my opinion. It's like, oh, I'm going to get you all stirred up, but I'm going to tell you. So you're going to be hanging there waiting for this secret to be revealed to you, you know. That's the one who likes drama. And you know, we all know people like that, too, you know, where they drop something like a little nugget, you know, and then I'm not going to tell you, because they want you to be pursuing them for that information, whatever it is. So that's, you know, whatever but we all have people, like, you know, we've all had that in a partner, you know, the secretiveness for one form or another, but it's what, it's the lack of transparency, like you said. But that, it's almost like saying, I have a reason for you to be upset, but I'm not going to tell you. I mean, that's what it sounds like to people. It's
right.
Like, oh, there's something that I need to know that's going to alter my perception. But now they're going to take that away from me, and they're not going to tell me.
Meanwhile, I got to sit here with bated breath. Yeah, I know. Listen, nobody likes that. And Di, I know that you're so good. Di will spot that stuff. She's extremely intuitive, but she has got
I am too observant with stuff. Yes, I know. And that's what you always tell me. I have too much integrity for my own good sometimes, because then it's like, well, why isn't everybody like that? You know, I don't understand, because people think they're just omitting things, and I think it's a lie. You know, they're lying.
He's so funny.
You're so funny
and good with that, though. Good. But anyway,
terrible. But you know what I also think? When people don't want to have a face-to-face conversation with you, and this has been my experience, you know, they'll, if they're doing, you know, well, I'll write it or I'll Facebook or whatever, it's almost like then that doesn't exist. It's like then the next time you see them in person, it's like none of this stuff in writing ever happened. And I don't know if I'm the only one who has felt like that, but it's like, or like the Dear Jane letter. The Dear Jane letter was out there, and yet just when I see this person in person, it wasn't. It was like everything was still hunky-dory, you know. And so it's almost like if I change my form of communication, then everything that I said is negated, or everything that I wrote, it doesn't matter now that I'm talking to you. Do you know what I mean? I don't know.
It's like that. That's mm-hmm. the other person, other part of me that wrote mm-hmm. that, and then it doesn't.
Right. It's like my alter ego. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
My alter ego wrote that. But that's not how I really feel. Or my bad person said that, but in writing, I'm really like this. You know, I don't even know.
It's true.
Different modes of communication, they feel like they are, it's like they're a different person.
Right. They can hit the delete button, it's done. Not true, man. You know.
I haven't erased. Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Can we just backspace that whole conversation?
Yeah. Meanwhile, you feel like crap, right? Because they just wrote this stuff, you know.
I'm so sorry that you've been crying for 3 days, because I didn't mean any of that. I just said it in writing. That's how I really feel.
That's good.
I typed that. It's not good. You know I can't type.
Anyway, that's funny. Yeah, the alter ego. So a lot of us, we all date Sybils, okay, or what's the male version of Sybil?
I don't think there is one, but the male Sybil. Right.
Yeah, the male Sybil or the female. Everybody has a Sybil, or everybody is a Sybil, the alter ego. I think there's been movies about that. That's funny. But you're right. I've seen that. And, man, what's the solution here, guys? You know, as I said, I talk to literally so many people a week, you know, face-to-face or on the phone, or, mm-hmm. you know, via the articles that I write or the shows that we do. And, you know, we have one on Tuesday and Thursday, or however that is. And I told Di this tonight, and Di, I think you agree with me, and I'm going to share this with everybody that's listening now, or as I said, download it later. Man, always be truthful. Always be truthful. And that is one of the hardest things to do sometimes, okay? Mm-hmm. Not only in intimate relationships, but with business and friendships. I had to tell someone the other day, I do not want to talk to you anymore because I think there's someone better, and I just can't stand her. And my personality-wise, I just can't. And, you know, I just don't want to deal with her anymore. And she doesn't need to deal with me because I feel like that. And, you know, and that was hard. But I told her, and I said, and she goes, I understand. And, you know, so that's what we do, is if you always be honest, be truthful, be compassionate when you're truthful, like you're saying, and living in truth. Mm-hmm. And Di's got a better way of saying that. And then be transparent in business, personal, and in every relationship. And if you can do that, man, your life's going to be great, because you don't have to remember the lies. And, you know, I have a philosophy. I only move forward. There's no reverse with me. And if there's no reverse with me and I'm moving forward, then I never have to go back and clean up a lie or clean up BS stuff that I created. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's my philosophy or advice. And how about yours? What is yours? Because you're a lot more strong about this than I am, okay? I mean, I'm strong about it, but you're like diehard,
but you've been in more relationships than me. Okay, you know, so I long-term relationships, you know, so, but
right.
what's your, and I appreciate
well,
it.
Well, and I think that's the only way.
Yes,
I think that comes from being in long-term relationships. You have to be honest. You know, you have to be honest. Even, and, of course, you're not trying to hurt their feelings, you know, and you're trying to deliver truth with compassion. But you can't have a long-term relationship if you're not honest with each other. I mean, that's bottom line. That a long-term healthy relationship, it just, it's not going to last when there's hidden truths, you know, when there's secrets or when there's omissions. It's not going to, because that starts suspicion, you know.
Yeah.
It breeds suspicion in one of the people in the relationship, and that is the beginning of the end. You know, the relationship starts unraveling from the inside out. So, yeah, that's, I think, there's just no other way to be, I think, if you're wanting that long-term relationship, that healthy, open, honest relationship, there has to be a level of honesty, and yes, with compassion, but you can't have these secrets, because then you're just playing games. But then it feels very high schoolish to me, you know, when people, and I talk to people all the time, and married couples, you know, they're young, and they have, well, I'm not going to tell them this, or she does this, and I'm going to say that. And it's like you can almost see already which marriages are going to work and which are not going to work sometimes, because you see the lack of honesty between the two people. And it seems so childish to me.
Right.
It seems like you're playing games, you know. So I think it's so important. And it's important for yourself to be able to look yourself in the mirror and say, I was as honest as I could be. Compassion, but I have integrity, and I can look myself in the eye, and that's important to me. And I think that came from my dad.
Aw, there you go. Yeah,
my dad was another brutally honest one, even if it hurt my feelings, you know. But he always used to, you know, drill that into us. You know, you got to be able to look yourself in the mirror. And so I can get up and look myself in the mirror, and I guess other people can look themselves in the mirror saying, "Oh, I was just trying to be nice, and that's why I'm lying." I guess.
That's funny. Yeah, you're right. Well, I'll share this with you, and this is fun. A lady that I know, she's such a beautiful soul. She made deviled eggs for my dad, and you know, my family was here for Christmas, and she made them, and because they taste like my mom, who died 10 years ago. Yeah, it'll be 11 this year. But
Say they taste like my mom, who died 10 years ago?
No, David, it tastes like my mom's deviled eggs, okay? And because she's, you know,
okay.
My mom was Irish. And she goes, "I made these for you and your father." And I was like, "Oh, okay, thank you." I was like, I had to tell her. I said, "Dad," and he goes, "Where's the deviled eggs?" I said, "Dad, I ate them." He goes, "I heard you ate them." He goes, "You told me, but you said you saved me one." I go, "Dad, I ate that one too." So anyway, I had to go and tell her. She calls me, says, "I want the deviled eggs." I was like, "Okay, I can lie to her. No, tell her the truth." I go, "I ate them all. I didn't share any of them with my daughter or my dad."
So funny.
But hey, it felt great to tell the truth. I was like, they were good.
That didn't feel so good, did it? Okay, I ate them all.
I ate all the deviled eggs. Yes. All right, hey, you guys, thanks, Di. I had a good time tonight. It was a fun show to do, but it's so true. And I, you know, I my heart goes out to everyone out there trying to live in truth and doing it. My thoughts are with you, because I know it's hard sometimes. Not all of us are like Di. She's been doing it from day one.
It's horrible. It's a terrible thing. It only hurts me.
Yeah, no, you do good. You taught me a lot, and as a result, I've, you know, taught people what I've learned and what I know to be the truth from God, the angels, or higher power, however you do that. And man, when you live in truth, then you can have a greater connection with your higher power, who I call God, Spirit, and
mm-hmm.
Jesus, and
mm-hmm.
The angels, whoever you believe in. So it's all good. All right, everybody, we got another show coming up on Tuesday, and it's all about manifesting, making things happen. And we got some special speakers, which I told you guys I was going to bring on in January. So don't miss out, and check Facebook out tonight. I'm going to post that article. I think it's funny. And you guys can check it out and see what you think. And take care, everybody. Have a great now. Di, you, I know you've got things to do, and she's tired cooking.
Go to bed.
Yeah.
Thanks, Terry. Have
yeah,
a good night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.